It's the story of how a bartender's son rose to become second in line to the presidency, a memoir brimming with expletives and unfiltered takes on today's politics and politicians on both sides of the aisle. Former House Speaker John Boehner tells it all in his new book, On the House, a Washington memoir released earlier this week. And he joins me now. John Boehner, welcome to the NewsHour. It is quite a read, this book, full of eye-popping stories, many of them hilarious. And you do spare no language in going after Democrats and Republicans. Which party gave you a harder time when you were Speaker?
Oh, hell, it was the Republicans. You know, the Democrats, they were the minority party in the House when I was Speaker, and the Republicans, we were the majority party. And on any given day, I'd have 210, 215 solid Republican votes. But, you know, I probably had two or three dozen knuckleheads that I had to deal with. They were part of the always say no caucus.
And you spend a lot of time talking about the knuckleheads, but you're also complimentary. You say most members of Congress are not charlatans. But so does it bother you that the public approval of Congress is so low? We just looked at it. It's in the 30s right now.
Well, yes, it does bother me, but those numbers really haven't changed a whole lot over the decades that I've been around. Listen, 90% of the colleagues that I've worked with, Democrat and Republican, good, honest, decent people trying to do their best for their constituents and for the country. But, you know, there's about 10% of Congress that you know, on the far left and on the far right that have different ideas. You know, they're about creating chaos, conflict, drawing attention to themselves, making raising cash and going their own separate ways.
Speaking of raising cash, I want to ask you about House Speaker Nancy Pelosi. You actually have some good things to say about her. You compliment her toughness. You say she may turn out to be the most powerful speaker in history. But my question is, Republicans have raised a lot of money demonizing her. Is that sexist?
Oh, that's not sexist at all. It's just that a lot of Republican voters and independent voters don't really care for her style of San Francisco liberal policies. And so over the years, you know, she became the face of the opposition. Listen, I was the face of the opposition for a while. I know what it's like. Paul Ryan went through this as well. You know, it's politics. It has nothing to do with identity politics in any way, shape, or form.
You're very clear in the book when you write about former President Trump, his challenging the results of the election, insisting that he had actually won, and the damage that's done to the country. I mean, how do you explain that?
Well, I thought the months leading up to the election, when the president kept telling people that the election was going to be stolen, and then we get past the election and he loses, and he continues to tell people that the election was stolen without providing any real evidence of misdeeds done in these states that were close. None. And, you know, I think that he abused the loyalty and trust of the people who voted for him by continuing to tell them things that really just weren't true.
Someone you were working very closely with in the House, Kevin McCarthy, who, of course, is now the House Minority Leader, after the attack on the Capitol on January the 6th, went to Mar-a-Lago. He's been very solicitous toward former President Trump. Has that been a mistake?
I don't want to sit back and, as a former member, as a former leader, be the has-been or the Monday morning quarterback telling the elected officials how they should do their job. And it's hard enough to govern today, given the polarized politics that we see in America. But I think what Republicans need to do is act like Republicans. Make sure that they remember what the principles of the Republican Party are. Things like fiscal discipline, things like a strong national defense. These principles have held our party together for the last 150 years, and they'll hold us together again through the coming elections if we remember who we are as Republicans. It's about the principles of the party, not some personalities.
One of the personalities gotten a lot of attention is a Georgia congresswoman, Marjorie Taylor Greene, who, as you know, has espoused some of this QAnon conspiracy. She raised over $3 million in the last quarter, a lot of money for a House member, and so have some of the other members who agree with President Trump that the election was stolen. What does this QAnon belief tell you about the fact that Republicans who embrace it are doing very well, raising a lot of money?
I don't know what it is. I don't know her. But listen, we've had people in the party, frankly, on both sides, that believe in all kinds of conspiracies. Americans love to believe in these crazy conspiracies. And sooner or later, they find out what the facts are. Well, at least most people find out what the facts are. And so, we're going to have fringe characters in both political parties. It's part of the political process. Frankly, I don't think it's anything new.
You don't think anything can be done about it?
No, you may have the fringe characters in both political parties.
There's an equivalent to QAnon in the Democratic
Party? I don't even know what QAnon is, except a bunch of people who believe in conspiracy theories. We've got members on the fringe, both parties.
But in terms of QAnon in particular, this manufactured conspiracy theories about the election, about things that just have no, don't bear
well,
any.
For the little bit I know about it, I think it's pretty bizarre.
Is it damaging the country?
Well, it's just not true. And I don't know why people espouse policies or principles or even words that aren't true. In my book, I've got a whole list of what my staff used to call Boehnerisms, things that I would say a lot. And the members heard me say this a lot. If you do the right things for the right reasons, the right things will likely happen. Just don't worry about it. And I spent most of my career every day trying to do the right thing, trying to be straightforward with the American people, straightforward with my constituents, straightforward with the press. And frankly, I think my career worked out just fine.
You've known Joe Biden, President Biden, for decades. In the book, you say he's a pretty nice guy. How do you think he's doing 12 weeks into his presidency?
Hey, listen, I've known Joe Biden for 30 years. I like Joe Biden. He's a good guy. He's a traditional Democrat. Now, he's not one of these left-wing progressive types. But over his first nearly 100 days, he has catered to this progressive wing, catered to the progressive wing, at the expense of trying to find a way to work in a more bipartisan manner.
He says he wants to work with Republicans.
He does. But so far, he hasn't taken that step.
Well, we are going to leave it there. John Boehner, the book is On the House, a Washington memoir. Thank you very much. We appreciate it.
Judy, thank you.